Thank you, Haley. They do an amazing job for first impressions. How many of you that are here for the very first time, and maybe I should not ask that question, but really felt welcome when you step in at a church this morning, and the people with smiley faces and welcoming you here. I mean, I certainly felt welcome when I came in, okay? It's good even for me, the pastor, to feel welcome when I'm coming in. And I'm certain it's the same experience that you've had when you've come in this morning. If you got your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with me to the book of Philippians. We're going to read from chapter 4. Hallelujah. Today is the last part of our series, Conquering Your Thoughts. I really hope that you've received something from it. I know you have, because I've been getting a lot of those prayer cards that you're filling out online, a lot of praise reports about how God is transforming your thought life, setting people free in their minds, in their thoughts, letting them know that there is freedom that can be found in Christ, especially right here. Week number one, just a quick recap. Week number one, we talked about realizing that we are at war, that we are fighting an enemy that is unseen, but the war is very real. And the war takes place right here in our minds. And week number two, we talk about rewiring our minds, our thoughts with God's truth. Basically replacing the lies of the enemy with the truth that can be found in the Word of God. So we have to work at it to replace that, to rewire our minds. And week number three, we talk about reframing our minds so that we can see through the lens of God. How many of you would agree that when we start seeing things through what God sees, we get a different perspective? We get a different perspective of what God wants to do. We start seeing God in terms of God, the good God, instead of seeing our circumstances being so bad. We get a different perspective through the lens of God. And today what we're going to do, we're going to tie the whole series with a nice little bow. All right? So we're going to talk about our thought life, but we're going to talk about anxious thoughts. Anxious thoughts. How many of you would agree that our lives are moving? We are moving in the direction of our strongest thought, right? Whatever we're giving a lot of attention to in terms of our thoughts, that's where we are heading. We are heading in that direction. Proverbs 4:23 says this: be careful how you think. Pay close attention how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Your thoughts can shape or give direction to your life. Whether you like it or not, your life is moving. There's a time stamp on your life. It's always moving. There's a chronos that is attached to your life. It's a time stamp, and time is ticking away. Your life is always moving, and it's moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. So it would be good news if all of our thoughts were good, right? That would be great news if all of us are thinking good things, we are moving in the right direction. But let's be real this morning. Not all our thoughts are good. Our mind needs to be trained, and that's what we've covered for the past 3 weeks. Our mind needs to be retrained, rewired, reframed in order to see things the way God sees, through His Word, through the truth of His Word. Oftentimes we allow so many negative thoughts to take over. Where we have a runaway train of negative thoughts. And this runaway train of thoughts would lead you into an out of control experience. Where everything in your life is spiraling out of control. So today I want to focus more on that aspect of our thought life. How do we deal with those thoughts that spiral you out of control? And when I'm saying anxious thoughts here, I'm not talking about there's no milk in the fridge. I'm talking about anxiety. Anxious thoughts that lead to a mental breakdown. Anxious thoughts that lead to a panic attack. Where we feel so attacked by the enemy that we freeze. We stop. And our brain would look like something like this. How many of you have experienced something similar in your life where you don't know how to deal with complex emotions, complex feeling of different things that are bombarding your mind, and you don't know how to deal with that, and you spiral out of control? Well, the Word of God gives us a perfect solution on how to deal with that, and that's the focus of this last part of the series. I want to share with you a little story. When I was in England, shortly after I got saved, I went around and witnessed to people, like we all do, right? We go around and we share our faith. And I felt compelled right in central London to go and share my story in a place it was kind of like a little bit of a rough part of London. For some reason, I felt drawn to that area. This was the area where you'll find prostitutes and you'll find different people that are of questionable background. And I found this place and I felt drawn to that part of town. There was this high-rise building. And I said, well, you know what, I'm going to go and knock on doors. And I did. I started going and knocking on people's door and sharing my faith. It was very positive. But then there was this one door. I knock on that door and this guy came out. And this guy was this big, giant Jamaican dude. I mean, if you live in London, you know, it's a very diverse kind of community. This guy came out and saw me as I was leaving. So I could hear the door open. As I was coming down the stairs, I'm going down, and I heard this yelling coming out of this room, and he's chasing me. So my thing is to panic and run, right? That's what I did. I took off running, and he chased me. I'm hearing him yelling those great words. I mean, you know, I mean, he's yelling so many words at me, and he's running down, and I could hear him closing the gap. I got into this place, at like a little landing area, and I felt this arm reaching, this hand like a giant. I mean, he grabbed me by my neck, and I had a backpack. With all my, they had my Bible or my books and everything else. I came from college, you know. I'm doing my job as a believer. I'm going and sharing the gospel. He grabbed me by my backpack and lift me up. You guys get the picture. Damon does. He's done that a few times, but not in that manner though. He likes to carry me and pick me up. But this guy picked me up, turned me around, and don't do this here. And then he put me down. He grabbed every part of the material that I had, little tracts that I had to share about the gospel. He grabbed all of that and tossed it in the trash. You know, that experience was very traumatic, right? For the longest time, I struggled with my witness because I had this big Jamaican dude in my face threatening me. So I had to deal with that traumatic experience. How many of you have had experience, maybe not as similar as that, but an experience in your life nonetheless that kind of shaped a little bit on how you perceive your world? It stopped you from doing something that you normally would be doing, but you've had something traumatic happen in your life that hijacked your brain, hijacked your thoughts. Probably a lot of you here. If you really think about it for a minute, you'll find out if you retrace your step in the past, maybe it might be as long as mine, maybe even longer than mine, or it might be something that just happened to you yesterday. That all of a sudden it happened, it triggered something in your mind, in your emotion, that makes you rethink what God wants to do. Makes you question your purpose, your destiny. I remember this quote from C.S. Lewis. I've got it up there. It's talking about getting over your past experience. Some of the painful ones. It says, getting over painful experience is much like monkey bars. You get the picture? You have to let go at some point in order to move forward. You gotta let go at some point in order to move forward. If you keep on holding on to this bar, you're not moving forward. You're staying put. But at some point, you must let go. Now, I'm not saying that letting go is as easy as that, right? It's not. Sometimes letting go could be just as painful as the actual experience. Because letting go could mean that you have to revisit the past. You got to go back to that place where that pain happened in order to deal with it, in order to address it. Because if you don't, what's going to happen is that the enemy will use that. The enemy will use that much later on, maybe not right away, but much later on in your life, in your walk with God, you will experience something if it is not dealt with properly that will trigger anxiety, that will trigger a certain thought pattern in your life that you would feel like your life has been hijacked by something that has happened in your past. So how do we deal with that kind of emotion? How do we deal with that kind of thoughts? The answer is this. Dealing with those anxious thoughts is based not on how we feel. Let me say it the other way. Not on how we feel, but what we know. Not on how we feel, because how we feel is attached so closely to that past traumatic experience that what we know to be true, we forget about it. So how do we deal with those anxious thoughts is not based on how we feel, but on what we know. Because what we feel is not reliable. It can change. It can alter from season to season. You might think that when you leave Kodiak, whatever struggle that you've had in Pennsylvania, I don't know why that is coming to mind, but whatever the struggle was in Pennsylvania and you've moved to Kodiak and all of a sudden that's going to leave. It's not. You're going to go to California. Guess what? You're going to drag that piece of past experience all the way to California. Because it has not been properly dealt with. So in order to deal with that, you got to go on what you know. Because what you know is constant. What you know is reliable. What you know is the Word of God. Like we studied last week in Hebrews chapter 4, we talk about the anchor. Have the anchor in place lest you drift away. And the anchor is the Word of God. And in Hebrews chapter 6, it talks about the anchor is strong and trustworthy. the anchor. So the anchor will never change. The anchor is the word of God. The anchor is the truth. And that's where we find the peace. And that's where we go to our opening scripture. Paul is writing here, and Paul is addressing the church in Philippi. He's saying this in verse 6, do not be anxious. Here's that word, anxious, anxiety, traumatic experience. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How many of you could use that kind of peace this morning? I can. I could. I mean, I need that kind of peace. I need that kind of peace in my life. And this scripture here is not based on how you feel. There's no feelings in there. It's based on what and who you know. Because here it says, let your guards or your hearts and your minds be in what? In Christ. That's the anchor. That's the anchor. That's the anchor for everything that you do. It is not how you feel, but what you know. What you know is God's presence. God's presence. Mind you, I did not say feel God's presence. I did not say feel God's presence, but I said know God's presence. There's a big difference between feeling God and knowing God. That's where the answer is. It's not feeling God, but knowing Him. Because sometimes we can be so fixated on the presence of problems that we ignore the presence of God. Let me say it again. Sometimes we can be so fixated in our minds, in our thoughts, on our problems that we lose sight of the presence of God in our life. And when we lose sight of God, that's when we panic. Because there's no anchor. Because there's no anchor, you drift. That's where we panic. That's where we don't think logically. The logic has been hijacked by the enemy. You don't even think logically anymore. Because that part of your brain is no longer working. Seems like it. And your brain looks like this. The land of confusion. You know, there's a scientific explanation for this. Did you know that God created us, created our brains with something called the amygdala? You've heard of that word? Just this. Right in our brain, there's this little tiny little thing. It's the size of an almond, and even in the shape of an almond. Very small thing in our brain, embedded in there, created by God, that controls the aspect of the emotion side. That little thing releases, is in charge of the emotion and also the survival instinct that we have as human beings. It releases adrenaline. It releases adrenaline in the right dosage for you to be able to figure out how to move away from danger. Give you an example. Say you're driving down the you're driving down the road, or you're walking down the road, and I don't know, you see Peter coming down the road. I mean, and he swerves and he's coming right at you. Like just happened to John the other day. Peter, it was on purpose. I think it was on purpose. But John's amygdala produced the right amount of adrenaline with the assistance of Richard right there, held John back. And here comes Peter driving and laughing and waving as he drove past. It's that part of your brain that tells you or alerts you that there is danger. Move to the side. And you say, what's wrong with that picture then? If it's a good thing, but here's what's wrong with just having the amygdala. It cannot differentiate danger. It cannot differentiate between a car coming straight at you and there's no milk in the fridge. I mean, that could be a panic thing too, you know. There's no milk in the fridge and kids are screaming. There's no breakfast. There's nothing. But the amygdala does not recognize that level of danger. It treats it just the same way. No milk in the fridge, incoming car about to kill you. Same thing. I mean, how many of you would agree that that is dangerous? That is a dangerous way of living a life. And that's where the panic attack comes in, because the amygdala doesn't differentiate between, oh, this is not a big deal. Oh, this is a big deal. A bear is coming. Run. Or whatever you do. Or don't do when there's a bear coming. Lord forbid there's a bear coming at me. I wouldn't know what to do. But this is the fight or flight mechanism in our brain. But the problem is that there's no differentiation between a small problem and a big problem. It treats everything the same way. But guess what? God is amazing, right? God created us with something else called the prefrontal cortex. This is the logical side of the brain. This is when it says there's no milk in the fridge, you're not going to die. There's a store down the road, you can go and buy it. So this is the logical side of the brain that equalizes everything in our life. God made it that way, to bring into balance this amygdala. But the prefrontal cortex also is there to take the facts and point you to the truth. Point to the facts in terms of makes you realize that there is a danger, but point you to the truth that God is in charge. You know what I'm saying? Because the amygdala cannot differentiate between the two. The logical side of your brain is not just pure logic. It's not just zeros and ones. It's not just yes and no. It's a little bit more complex than that. This is how amazing God is. He recognizes the potential danger, but points you to the God's truth that says that God is with you. This is the side of you when you're feeling like anxious and you're about to embark on a journey, when you feel like the enemy is attacking you and your family. But the prefrontal cortex is coordinating everything in your brain. The danger is there. The unknown is there. But guess what? In the middle of danger, no weapon formed against you will prosper. See, he makes that connection. It makes that connection for you to be able to react differently in a situation when you feel like you are stuck. Now, that's the way that God designed mankind, is to assist the prefrontal cortex, is to assist the spirit man, is to assist the spirit man, to make the spirit man aware of the presence of God. That's logic. That's scientific as well, but it's also so biblically sound. This is exactly what Paul is saying here. Recognize that in the middle of the storm, God is present. God designed both parts to work together. But here's what we need to remember. When things seem to be out of our control, they are never out of God's control. They might feel like they are out of our control, which a lot of times it is, they are, but they are never out of God's control. God is sovereign. God is in charge. God can do a better job of taking care of your kids than you can. He can do a better job of taking care, watching over your family than what you can. So it's part of us having to realize this and not be so anxious when your kids is grabbing the keys and driving down the road. I have a brand new driver right here, 16-year-old, driving safely on the roads of Kodiak. Guess what? I had to get to the place where I feel I have to release that. Lord, you can take care of him better than I can on his way to take care of the horse at the farm. And he's heading out there. I'm like, I used to drive him. I can't just hand him over the keys to do that. It took me a little bit to actually realize, I know he can do it. Just let him go. Just release him. And this is part of my logical side of my brain connecting with the amygdala and saying God is in charge. That's where we need to make that connection. Whenever we are in a panic mode, don't just give in. Look for God's presence. Look for God's presence. And that's exactly where we head this morning. Elijah needed to be reminded of this. He had a panic attack and he's running for his life. And we read this story in 1 Kings chapter 19. He's running away from Jezebel. He says here, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom brush, sat under it and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. What kind of nonsense is this? You know what I mean? This is the same guy that slayed so many prophets of Baal, experienced God's miraculous power, and all of a sudden now he's running for his life and he's begging God to just kill him. Absolute nonsense. The enemy got into his head, right? The enemy is playing a game with him. His mind was hijacked by the enemy. His amygdala, now that you know that term, now use that at home freely. When you're dealing with your kids, your amygdala is out of control, boy. Let the prefrontal cortex balance everything out. Good luck with that. Yes. Elijah there allowed the enemy to use negative thoughts to hijack his brain. And he took a hold of all of this and he's running away. He's running away for his life. But then God got his attention. And God got his attention in verses 11 and 12. He says, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. See, the presence of the Lord here was key. For the Lord is about to pass by. God is saying, go and look for my presence. Go and look for my presence. So, friends, in the middle of your anxiety, in the middle of you having a panic attack, what should you do? Look for God's presence. That's exactly what God told Elijah. Go and stand in the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is going to pass you by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. A gentle whisper. God's presence was not in the wind. God's presence was not in the fire. God's presence was not in the earthquake. But God's presence was in this gentle whisper. See, God did not want Elijah to feel his presence. God was trying to get Elijah to start thinking that you don't move by what you feel. You don't move because you're not feeling the fire of God. Because sometimes we come to church, I want to feel the fire of God. It's best that you know the presence of God. Because sometimes you can be so focused on the manifestations of God that you lose sight that God is close to you, right where you are. God was not in the fire. God was not in the earthquake. God was right there. God's presence was right there. And he wanted Elijah to know it. How many times do we make that mistake? When we try to feel God's presence in the wrong places. In the wrong places. Places where he's not. Well, the whole time, God is saying, my presence is just a whisper away. We're looking for God in other places, but he's like, I'm right here. I never left. I've always been there. I've given you my word. My word says I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. When you are in the pits, I'm right there with you. When you go through troubled times, I'm right there with you. That is what is reminding us. That's why he reminded Elijah. I'm right here with you. I never left. So next time when you feel a little of an anxiety coming in, creeping in at a little bit, look for God's presence. That's the anchor. That's the place where you go and you find him when you know that God is here. That's where you stop. You stop the enemy from taking more control, overtaking your thoughts, spiraling you out of control. You allow that presence of God to be the anchor in everything that you do, in how you think, how you process things that are around you. This is how you bring into balance everything that is happening to you. Not ignoring the facts, but allow the word of God to speak over the facts. That is the anchor. This is what we need, is to have the word of truth to provide that balance in everything, especially here in our thoughts. Framing. Remember last time we talked about this? Framing is important. Framing your thoughts. Framing your thoughts based on what you know. If you know that God is good, frame your situation that God is good. God is not a liar. God doesn't change. He's always the same, always constant. God says that I am healed. You hold on to that frame of what you know instead of what you feel. That's the anchor of everything that you do. Now let's go back to our opening scripture as we get ready to close. We're going back to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Did you know, by the way, that Paul wrote the book of Philippians in a Roman cell? He was in Rome. And he's writing this book as a letter that he's writing to the book, to the church in Philippi. And when you read chapter 1, he's writing to the church because his intention was to go to Rome to preach to the highest ranking member, to the Senate. He was going to the White House to preach. He's like, I can be more effective if I reach the top guys. If I go and preach to the president, guess what? The president's going to be a believer, and the president's going to be able to go and spread the gospel better than what I can. Guess what happened to him when he got to Rome? He got thrown in prison. He got thrown into prison. And he's writing this book from the prison among a group of prisoners and prison guards. He had to reframe his situation. He had to see his prison cell as the platform to release the gospel instead of the White House. See, from the White House to the jailhouse. That was the platform that God chose for him. So he had to reframe the way that he processed his world. His world changed at that point. Changed to just a small cell. And he's writing this from a jail cell. He's saying, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, in other words, that if it is on your mind, it is on God's heart. That's what it means. If it is on your mind, you bring it up to God. Don't just deal with that. Don't just struggle with that alone, but bring it to God. Let God handle it. So he's bringing his petition to God. He's saying, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and by petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. See, prayer should never be the last resort. It should always be the first line of attack. When you're dealing with anxious thoughts, let prayer be the first line of attack. Prayer not only touches the heart, the heart of God, but it changes the chemistry of our brains. When you pray, there is something that happens right there that changes the way that you think, even changes the chemistry of your brain. In psychology, they call this neurotheology. Isn't that crazy? That science and the word, they merge. In a book that was written by Dr. Carolyn Leaf called Switch On Your Brain, she talks about it in terms of if you pray as a believer, you pray for 12 minutes is what she said, for over a period of 8 weeks, the chemistry of your brain will change to the point that when you do a brain scan, it can be visible. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy that what Paul said 2,000 years ago, just now science is able to merge it together? Isn't that crazy? Look at a recent scan that was done on a brain of a believer. This is the baseline. This is no activity. And this is a prayer scan after that person went through that 8 weeks period of praying. You see that little red spot? That's the prefrontal cortex. See, we say logic. Oh, you know, it's just logic. But God uses logic. And this is what happens to our logic. Things happen. The chemistry of the brain changes when you pray. Paul, right here, makes the connection. He makes the connection with verse 7. He says, and the peace of God, because it started with prayer, petition, thanksgiving. He's saying, this is what you must do. And after you do these things, this is what happens. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your what? Your minds. So he makes the connection. He's saying, pray first. Let prayer change the way that you think. But after you pray, this is what happens. The peace of God that transcends or surpasses all of your understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer guards your hearts, and he also guards your minds. Two very important aspects of a person. Your heart and your mind. And then in verses 8 and 9, Paul takes it a step further. Because this time he's talking more about the rewiring of your mind. He's making the connection right there, even with Romans chapter 12. He's saying, your brain, don't just stop there. That now that you prayed and you've experienced the peace of God that surpasses all of your understanding, now you must train that brain. You must train that brain so that you don't go back to the anxious thoughts. Because the danger is you prayed and you've moved on and you quickly forget what God has done. So you go back to that same pattern of wrong thinking. Wrong thinking leads to wrongdoing. You start thinking the wrong thing. Here, Paul is saying, don't just stop after prayer, after you experience the peace of God. Now take it a step further. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, the truth, the anchor, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. See, here's the direction. Quit having stinking thoughts. It's easy, right? Think about things that are true, that are noble, that are right, that are pure, that are lovely, that are admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Whatever you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me. See, Paul is not excluding himself from this battle. He's placing himself just like you and me. He's saying, I'm experiencing the same thing that you are experiencing. Don't think that if you are a pastor, you would not be going through the same thing. We all go through this. We all must train our minds, our thoughts to behave. Because if we don't, they'll run us crazy. We'll start having those anxious thoughts. Guess what? I'll still be struggling with this Jamaican dude. I mean, years later, I'll still be struggling with the same thoughts that held me captive way back when. But if I did not dealt with those thoughts, I would have been stuck. I would not have received any sort of breakthrough to move forward with what God has assigned for me to do. The same is true for all of us here today. We must learn and we must apply the truth in order to see the result. And here he's saying, put it into what? Practice. See, the gospel is so practical. A lot of time we think that this was an ancient document written by these old dudes way back when, and now it's not even applicable to anything that we do. But look, science is connecting the two, making it so relevant to us, to culture. It transcends everything. It is very practical. Put it into practice, and the peace of God and the God of peace will be with you. Would you stand to your feet as we close? I am believing, just like what I've said, I've received so many praise reports in terms of what you have experienced in terms of breakthrough in your life, in your thought life. I am believing that this morning, you would enter into a new level of breakthrough. You would go to a place where you would experience freedom and healing. Where you would see the grip of the enemy over your lives for so long. His grip would loose. And you would be walking out of here free. free in your mind. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this series, Lord God. That, Lord, that we've studied your word. That your word became alive to us. That your word became the anchor to everything that we know. Let your presence come and be ever so real in our lives. And we declare right here, right now, that the enemy is defeated. That the battle has been won. That Jesus, your precious blood, is covering us from the crown of our heads to the sole of our feet. That your blood stands as a guard against the enemy. In our minds, in our thoughts. That our minds is being renewed. By your word. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. We're going to have a little time of prayer. So if you've got any prayer requests or anything like that you want to come up for prayer, we're going to be right here waiting for you. Amen. Otherwise, we're dismissed and we'll see you next Sunday. And next Sunday is going to be Father's Day. Bring somebody to church. Amen.